broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, Voice of God technology brings you Ever Beyond Radio. Let's see, have I got enough volume here? Yes, just checking the volumes. There, that's much better. There, you can just hear the wonderful, wonderful, excellent shows. And here we are. Wow. So what I'd like to say is tonight, I have a completely blank slate. So when that happens, something amazing happens. When there's a space, nature abhors a vacuum and something wonderful usually drops into it. So, for the moment, it's been, you know, another week. It's been another Wolf Spirit week, I tell you. We're talking, you know, I've been talking about the time of the crossing and how everything's converging and dividing. And, it's like an X. It's like an X shape, you know, like, a cross, where, like a cross fade where one thing fades in and another thing fades out. This is the spirit of the age. This is the spirit of the movement of the ages, is that things are going to finish and other things are going to start. And, one of the things that I got, All right. So yeah, one of the things that I got years ago, was that there's going to be some point where, and you know, for me, they gave me an idea of it, like around 3 days, you know. Not to be linear about everything, but about 3 days is about how long it takes. For instance, it takes 3 days for things to move through your body. If you eat something, you know, you're completely shot of it in definitely in 3 days. When I was getting these communications, or I still am, but, there was a sense that there was going to be a point when it's like somebody had pressed in the clutch. And, the whole system is declutched, is freewheeling, and that it's possible to, retune it at that point. If you've got everything right, if we've got all the teamwork right, and in some way to, meme the new into being, we didn't have the word meme then, but to basically create the thought constructs that would be healed constructs rather than, sick constructs like we have at the moment. Essentially the whole, world system is organized on the, Orion Consortium, what we call the Babylonian system, which is, a top down. It feeds the great thing at the top, the great big mouth at the end of the food chain, you know, it feeds that. And it's designed to, and all the trappings of pomp and ceremony and all of this institutional rubbish that we have been subject to, this Masonic stuff, all these ceremonies, you know, the queen stepping out of her house, the queen going to the toilet. Apparently they do, yeah. And there's a special guy. Yeah. You guys know about the groom of the stool? Don't make me tell you about the groom of the stool. Anyway, the whole thing, it's a reptilian construct. It's all designed to feed the great big lizard at the top who doesn't care what he eats, you know, just eats babies, other lizards, you know, other lizard babies, other species, other insects, you know, doesn't care. Just food. Anyhow, and it's kind of entirely vampiric, you know, it doesn't, it doesn't recycle everything else in the universe. You know, the things that are positive in the world recycle themselves, and they are over unity engines, like. Vampiric things are below unity engines, which, you know, they use up resources. So you can see things in those terms, if you like. Things that are over unity and abundant, and things that are below unity and regressive and contracting and what's the word? Consuming. That's the word. You know, it's like a consumer. In the end, there's none left. There's no energy left. As you can see, that our world that we hope to inherit and look after is currently being ravaged by this this energy, which is of a regressive, vampiric, consuming nature. Essentially, we are trying to, we're here to spiritualize, to bring into the fifth dimension, to make solar. Basically, that we turn, everything turns into a sun. Everything shines like the sun. Everything with a soul, you know, everything that has a soul. We'll, you know, I don't know whether we'll actually see people glow, maybe, but certainly their attitudes will, energetically glow. We'll see them from afar. We'll see, you know, people's reputation will precede them of their goodness. Instead of people being scared of the worst person in the world, they're hopeful that a beneficent person would walk into their land, because that would energize their land. By their feet touching the ground, people would realize the true connection between saints and the land, and why people go on pilgrimages. That's another one. So, well, tonight, the show topic was, call in about maybe your dreams, about other things, if you like, your visions. I know a lot of people are getting some really, really heavy duty situations going on. So, I'd like to invite call-ins. I checked it before. It might work, but Skype is very bad, but I have two Skypes now. Which is quite cool, because if you're listening in stereo, one's just pan to the left, one's pan to the right. And, I'm there in the, sort of in the, vaguely in the middle. So that's quite nice. It's, you know, it's quite a nice, radio experience. It's more alive than the others. I could even put a little bit of ambient reverb in the background, so everybody feels like we're in the same sort of, chamber. Anyhow, so if you would love to call in, you can call in on, 775. Oh, somebody just did. So let's try this one here and see where we go.
Yes.
Patrick, there we are. Turn off your radio, please.
That's quite nice. It's quite a nice,
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dude, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for, oh man, I've just been listening.
All
so
right.
Enjoy.
I don't know where that came from. It was lovely though. It was, it brought a whole lot together, didn't it? So, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, JP. Thank you for having your show with, Simon last week as well.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't very well. We're all not very well. I've been waking up every day with a really terrible backache and all this crap.
I know, that's why I bring it up right away, is like, you know, so much time and energy in this. It's such an interesting place to work right now. It's like there's so many people putting their heart and there's just a knowledge of how important this timeline is, how important the work is right now to do. And there's no question. It's like all the people that are doing – that was such a beautiful show about Tiffany. It really touched – I just want to say too again, I like so many people here – I so appreciate your show, JP. It is just who you have on, the information that comes out, the time that takes, your back. I thought about your back that whole show when you coughed and you're like, oh, I almost died. I'm like, oh, I can feel you. I'm like, oh.
Oh, well, look, it's down to a dull ache now, and it's okay because it's kind of moving towards the middle. So I'm getting a backache on both sides. But I know it's about my posture, and I'm – You know, I'm, look, if you could all imagine me, receiving a really deep massage from a very, very tall, dark haired woman, who's basically pummeling and turning my back to putty again. then that might manifest. It's very likely. It's a really, you know, it's a no brainer because, it just needs her boyfriend to bring me round here. That's all it takes. Everything will be sorted after that. for want of the car, you know, that's all.
Sheila's JP, about- I think we, it's so good when you share your manifestations because then we can all put our attention on that. Cause again, you know, whether it be yourself or Simon or so many people, it's like, I really too, I think that's so underestimated. It's something I'm noticing. I'll get any topic that you want to talk about. That's great. Just something I've been noticing. It's like the last show. Oh man, it hit me so deep. So many things hit me, but it's like, it was really the same topic that I talked about in the Lyran trauma and so many other things. It's like, for some time now, it's like, I do know what's going on in the world. And for me too, this Christmas was very solemn, very quiet, very tender. I felt so beaten up, not physically even physically in a way, but just knowing what's going on, also watching beautiful things happening, like kind of like everything unfold, but being very sensitive to feeling, and then just also respecting, you know, this, whatever. Most people are just so busy and crazy, I don't think they can feel what's going on. And what I wanted to bring up is the few times I've been out at the, like some really nice dance scenes, actually. It's kind of, I've been enjoying dance. It feels like it's nice to move around. I've really been enjoying that. And, but just noticing how few people can even connect with the artists on stage. The artists are putting forth immense effort, love, connection, and there's just like this disconnection. Like they don't even hardly notice who's on stage. And it's so painful. One, because they're so good, but two, just because people aren't paying attention. I'm kind of noticing everything.
Men of your sensitivity, Patrick, are very rare. Very rare.
Thank you.
And, you know, often, usually, almost always unappreciated for their, what's the word? Exquisite tenderness. So what I've found is that everybody's been suffering at their weak point.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, you know, the thing about like, places, I didn't ask Kufuni. Oh, hang on. What's that? Have you turned on a video?
I just put on my video. I'm sorry. All right, I was listening and I wanted to wait. Again, I'm sorry. I just get into this on Sundays, but seriously, this program specifically on Sundays, like whether I call in or not, I always just, but it's like a fundamental, like I set aside time. I wish I could, I look forward to different ways that so many people can, you know, benefit like what's going on in the different like beautiful Ubuntu communities that are starting off. But, like this, what you're offering and the people you're able to have on. Anyways, again, it's such a privilege not only to be on your show now, but just, yeah, I waited to kind of get on. I didn't put on the picture yet because I kind of ran over real quickly.
Squirrely, squirrely, squirrely. Keep going. There you go, Patrick. I can't see it again. I think I might have a bandwidth issue tonight. I don't know what's going on.
That's perfect.
Anyhow, and Skype is, I think that they're going to have to release a new version to improve our composition.
I love your beard.
It just growed and growed and growed. In combination with the lovely green scarves. See, what's really interesting is the beard and the scarf, they're like Velcro. They merge together. So I've got this perfect windproofing thing.
And someone hand knit it for you. Right?
Indeed, Shari. Yeah.
It's like those are these priceless, these are the things is that like someone takes out their time, they care, they make you something from their heart and then you get to wear it. It's like, That's the whole thing, like learning what dressing for success means is like learning to wear things that feel very good, and they feel good because they remind you of people. And also the feel tone of like whether it be wool anyways, it's very nice. It's very fitting.
Thank you. and you know, I know that every stitch of that contains, you know, like 10 seconds of Wool Spirit Radio.
Yeah.
You know, that's really cool. It embodies it. So it has great wisdom. So perhaps, you know, in the future, maybe we could pass it around, you know, if he was wearing the talking scarf.
No. Amen.
Papa Smurf. Yeah. So anyway, so meanwhile, where were we? Yeah. So there's all these things that people are going through, you know, and people are, going through their weak point. Now, the first kind of, you know, my first adulting, you know, when you're a kid, you know, everything's fine and you can do what you like and you can eat and drink and, you know, live on pasta or something, you know, you can survive it. You can survive 20 years, just about, and throw any kind of rubbish at it. And, you know, it'll survive. But after about 22 years, it starts to break down. And, you know, the first thing that I had at that sort of age was I put my back out. I was reaching up. My first ever adult injury was I reached up and, I was adjusting a Citizens Band radio aerial, which was about 5 meters, it was about a 5 meter long aluminium pole. On top of a 3 meter long steel pole. And I was just adjusting the joint between the steel and the aluminium pole. And I felt this little thing. And you know, it was the tiniest, tiniest thing. And I'd never felt this tiny little thing before. But I'm sure other adults now who have experienced this is this tiny little thing that goes.
Yep.
And that, whee! Now let's see, can I add Kathleen? Let's see. Did that work?
You gotta get Nora on.
Kathleen, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Skype is almost working. Lovely. And you're coming through very nicely and clearly. And you're in the UK as well.
Yes, I am. I am in the UK. I'm in Hastings right now, actually.
Hastings?
Yes,
Hastings.
Yes, on the other side of the UK.
My son is in Brighton, as we speak.
Oh, yes. Very close by.
Yes, very close.
Yes.
So, well, hello, Catherine.
Yes, thank you very much, JP, for doing what you're doing. I just love your show, really, and I love the chat room and everything which you are saying and what people are saying. It's so amazing. It looks like the world is really changing in front of your eyes.
Well, this is what we've been waiting for. You know, we've been expecting you. You know, we really have.
I'm very glad to hear that. Thank you very much. I wanted to share my dream, actually, today. When I started to write my phone, I was writing from my phone. And
I know, it's a pain in the ass. So right, okay, so first of all, so Kathleen, you're not from England, are you?
No, I'm from Poland.
You're from Poland. Oh, cool. Yes, whereabouts in Poland?
Yeah. Well, I live in a very small town between Wrocław and Opole and or Krakow. Like in the middle of it. It's a southwestern part of Poland, but in the south a little bit. Kind of, yeah.
Okay, and you live in Hastings because?
Well, I've moved to UK in 1985 when I was 18. I just literally wanted to move out from Poland because of the system I was born into, and I just couldn't stand the system and the way the things were in Poland when I was young. So I moved to UK. It was a miracle, actually, that I left Poland at that time because I was just 18. But I came here for the social workers camp, that's what they called it at that time, and I stayed here for 7 years, then I came back to Poland for another, 10 years, hoping that everything I've learned here, I will be able to implement in Poland, but unfortunately, I found myself in the situation where I was actually seeing the whole structure of fraud, legal structure, which was actually making my fellow guys suffer. And I decided that I have to come back to the UK, where I was sort of brought in a way, because I was 18, I was very young, and I learned how to work, and I learned how to live my adult life on my own. So I came back here, and I found myself in a situation which was actually mimicking what I found in Poland. I was just made a goal for myself to learn what it is all about. I just wanted to know everything. So I stayed here for another 20 years now, almost.
So
this is my story.
Wow.
But
so.
What I wanted to do, I wanted
yes,
to share my dream. My dream was very important. I think maybe people can relate to it. Because since the childhood, I had many visions, and I had visits from different dimensions. And living in Poland at that time, it was, I would probably be put to the mental handicap hospital or something. So I didn't actually talk about it to anyone. But I spoke to spirits, and when I was two, I had a vision, or not a vision, it was actually happening. When I was 2 years old, the wall simply opened and showed the guy from different dimension came into my door and said to me, well, you wanted to go home, and I'm here for you to take you home, but I wanted to tell you that why I'm here is basically to remind you that everything you see and everything you experience is literally made by you. And you can imagine, I was two, maybe two and a half. Since then, I knew that everything I experience is made by me, so I decided to take my life into my own hands and create it in some way I could actually create it. So many years passed, and I had many experiences, but recently, like 2 years ago, I had a vision which was very powerful. The dream was like showing myself in the campus of a private college or private school or university, where there were many students, and I was one of them. And one colleague of mine came to me breathless and holding a box with this black stone in it. And he said, Kathleen, this is only for you. You are the only one who I could think of who could hold this stone away from these masters who are coming into the college. And I said, why, what is this stone? He said, well, the stone is really magical, but these masters are coming here to get it. And I said, well, okay, let me try. I will put it into my backpack or something and keep it. But don't give it to anyone. It's secret. It's a magical stone. You are the only one who I can give it to. Okay, so I took the stone and put it in my bag. And a few minutes passed, and I saw from my window, I saw the like a spaceship coming down to the stadium in the middle of the yard of this college. And from the spaceship, three men or statues or whoever, three kind of men came out. And they were wearing black robes, the hooded black robes. I couldn't see the faces, but students were overwhelmed with joy seeing them, and they were cheering, and they were surrounding them, and the crowd gathered, but they didn't actually look at the students. They proceeded straight towards my wing in which I was living, the wing of the building I was in. And I saw them proceeding and walking, and the crowd was bigger and bigger. All of the students from the university came to greet them. And what happened next, they were closer and closer, and I started to kind of maybe not fear them, but thinking maybe I should just run away somewhere. And thinking, wow, there are so many of these students cheering and shouting something. I couldn't make out what they were shouting, but they were shouting something. They were chanting, actually. And they were coming closer and closer. And I said, well, the only way out was the bridge. So I came out of the room which I was in onto the bridge. But the river the bridge was over was actually dried up. So the students went into this valley of dry river, and I was on the bridge. And there were thousands of them now, and they were surrounding these three walking men, which faces were not to be identified. I couldn't see the faces. So they were walking onto the bridge. Can you hear me yet?
Can I just ask, were the men the same height as humans? Were they shorter?
Well, actually, they were a little bit taller, but they were three sizes. The middle man was the tallest. The right, the man on the right side was a little bit shorter, but they were all taller than the students. This is something which is probably important as well. And the guy on the left was the shortest.
Was he the oldest or the youngest?
Actually, I couldn't see the faces, so I don't know what age they were.
Were they all walking, as if like people walking, or were they gliding and floating?
Actually, yeah, they were sort of gliding, not walking. But when they actually appeared on the bridge, surrounded by the students, I could see the shoes, but I could see the shoes only of the one of them, the shortest guy. So I didn't see the shoes of the guy in the middle, which was tallest. I couldn't see the shoes of the guy from on his right-hand side. And, so only one had kind of shoes, which I could see below the rope, and they were surrounded on with this crowd of students, and I wasn't afraid, but I was concerned, and I didn't know what I was holding this box with the black stone, and they were coming closer and closer, and the crowd was chanting something, I don't know what it was, but they stopped like 3 meters in front of me, and they said to me telepathically, give me the stone. And I said, no, I won't. And I said to myself, before I actually had some kind of ideas what to do, I saw the black kind of substance floating on this bridge, and this substance was starting to climb up on the bodies of the students who were chanting. And I saw the girl, the blonde girl, such a beautiful girl, and I thought, wow, but she was so good, why can't I feel her feelings like I used to? And this black stuff was coming onto her and onto other guys as well. And I'm, you can feel through my voice now when I'm talking about it. I'm still excited because of the power and energy this dream or vision had. So what happened, I said, no, I won't give it to you. I didn't know why, but I hold this stone. I feel this energy shaking in my hand, and I saw that down below the bridge, there was thousands and thousands of these students, but I knew that on the bottom of this lake, or not the lake, river, there is this black stuff coming onto these students. And I didn't actually hear about the black goo then. I didn't know what it was. So I thought, well, this is something which is not right. And I asked my heart, and I said, I don't want to call up gods. I don't want to call up angels for help, but I call you Earth. I don't even know why I said it. I knew that I needed help. I needed support. I needed some advice. I didn't know what to do. And I said, I just know that this blonde girl is not herself anymore. I just completely forgot about this crowd, but I was concerned about the change which happened within this blonde girl. And I decided that probably the same change happens to every one of them. And I was very concerned. And I said, well, I just want something which stops this change. Holding this stone, and I heard the voice from the Mother Earth. Love your mother. Love your mother. And I started to cry very loud, very loudly. Love your mother. Love your mother. And I actually screamed it so loud that I could see the energy from my voice surrounding me as a vibration. And I looked up, and I saw as a mirror image of myself in multiple layers, like when you put the mirror in front of someone and behind him is a mirror, so you can see yourself in a number of kind of dimensions or mirror images. I could see myself like that, and I could just see here. When I was shouting, love your mother, I felt it, and with the feeling and emotion of love to my mother Earth, mainly, really, and to my mother, but I went with my kind of idea and brain and head and my heart to the very first moment I was born, and I felt this feeling of pure love, and I shouted, love your mother. Also having in mind that this is the first emotion this girl could relate to. Maybe she can remind herself how to feel love, and maybe this process can stop. And what happened, I could hear bangs, as if, do you know when the planes started to cross the sound boundary, it was like, boom, something like that.
Sonic boom.
In the sky. Yeah, like a sound barrier, yeah.
Sonic boom, it's called, yes.
Yeah. And I could hear it. Boom, boom, boom. When this sound of love for your mother went through the certain layers of the same image of myself, up and down. Below me was the same situation with a mirror image, and over me was the same mirror image of myself and this crowd, and it was so huge. I screamed as much as I could. I could see this black thing, which I think is black goo, because this is my knowledge now. It started to come off these people. And they were trying to look at my eyes, into my eyes, straight, seeing something else than before. And I could see what they were seeing. They were seeing me. The the way they were looking at me was different. That's what I'm trying to say. And this black disappeared, and what happened with these three masters, they actually decreased in size. They shrunk and shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. They were lifted up and disappeared in the sky. And these guys, and I was still shouting, and I woke up the whole house with this chanting, love your mother. My daughter came up to me and said, "Mommy, what's going on? What's going on? Mommy, come on, what's going on?" I said, "No, nothing, but it's something which happened." I told her about my dream. But the power of it was so immense, I couldn't actually go back to sleep anymore. And I felt that it went through my body in a way like nothing else actually ever, you know, kind of went through my body in a sense of vibration, energy, sound. And I knew that when I heard these bangs, like barriers, maybe, just maybe, I thought, maybe they were my timelines or other dimensions which I'm living in, and these people involved in this vision. And maybe, just maybe, because, one thing which is very important, this black stone in my hand was shaking. And what I heard as a whisper, I heard, "It's safe now." Like this stone which I hold in my hand, I was still holding it. "It's safe now." And it stopped shaking. It was shaking, 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 and it stopped. And I knew it is very important. I wrote it on my blog. I wrote it to many kind of websites and stuff to just plant the seed, the love to your mother, the first one, the purest one. The first emotion is the closest one to the creator's emotion, which we were all filled in when we were coming into this world. And when we remember it, just maybe this is the answer. Just maybe. I don't know, but I think what I felt, it was... on many levels, it was really doing something on many layers of dimensions. And my daughter felt it, my granddaughter felt it, and I knew that something happened at that moment. I don't know what, but definitely something happened beyond me. I know that many people cannot actually relate to love to the mother. I know this because I am a therapist as well. I went through many experiences of my own, and it led me to be a therapist now myself. And I am an interpreter at the same time. And I know certain things which may be not easy to understand, but I know it from experience. And some people have different experiences and traumas, and they cannot imagine how to love their mother. But many of us do. And maybe to those of us who do and can relate to it, that we should ponder on it or upon it and think about it and just remind ourselves how it felt when we felt it for the world to heal. Hello?
Thank Hello? You. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know whether. So this is what I wanted to share.
Thank you very much, Captain. So, Patrick, do you have any feelings on that? I bet you do.
It was just, it was beautiful. The dream was beautiful, and what you share at the end. Thank you. And it's Catherine?
Kathleen,
thank you.
My pleasure. So thank you very much, and thank you for all you're doing to and for humanity, because this really helps, especially people like me who do not have the courage yet to come out with certain information which we hold. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure you'll join me in the future. Now I've got your. I got your number. So that's good. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
And, did you say you had a blog?
Pardon?
You said,
I didn't get...
You said you had a blog?
I did, but I don't have it because it was, it disappeared. I created a few websites, but, when I put the message out, It was live for maybe a month or two and just disappears. So I was creating another one. My website is One World, One Nation, or my Facebook is on One World, One Nation as well. So if you look for me, it's Kathleen Austin, and One World, One Nation.
One World, One Nation. Don't be shy. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. It's only us. It's only me and you and Patrick. Yeah, it's all right.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all you do, guys. It's great.
Brilliant. Oh, you're very welcome. We do it because we're here. You know, it's here because we do it. And somebody's got to. And,
yes, definitely.
You know.
Definitely. That's for sure.
It seems to
I'm
be
doing
left for me.
It from my room.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it, you know, on the level of, like, everyday people.
Yeah, this is how it's going to happen because, you know, like I said before, that draconian, Orion system that we call institutionalism and all of that, all the isms, they're all created by the reptilians just to feed on our energy, right? And
I know that definitely. I have actually been married to the gentleman who was shapeshifter. And
you call him a gentleman still. That's interesting.
It's also created by the universe, you know, just have a kind of distance and respect for creation of life anyway. So, but I had experienced that firsthand, so I can relate. I know exactly what they do and how they do it.
And maybe you'll speak about that another time. We have we have so many threads. I mean, one of the things that I noticed during your discourse, you were talking about when timelines have merged.
Yes.
One of the things that my guides have spoken to me about, even recently, is that there are, and you know, also Alex Collier has confirmed this as well for me, that there's a Nazi timeline, like a timeline where the Nazis won the war. And they've kind of made a kind of strange little time loop to kind of try and lock themselves in to make this the timeline. But it's basically, it's meeting something much, you know, much more irresistible than itself, which is this wave of love.
Exactly. Well, I was talking about it. If I just can take two more minutes
take your time. Take a breath, Kathleen. Kathleen, it's a Sunday afternoon here in Wolf Spirit Land, wherever that might be, somewhere hovering over the Atlantic Ocean. It's time for the afternoon conversation. So take your time, take a breath, and, share what you want to share.
Yes, I wanted to talk about these timelines and loops and, what we were fearing. I was having an insight which I think could be very interesting too. Regarding, actually, it's not my insight. I would say I heard it. I heard a voice saying that because I was reading about AI, artificial intelligence, and how the AI created a web similar to our internet. And I thought, well, what a great thing to do when they connect us to it. We still have our own Akashic net. If we add to it our love, they will have no chance to do anything but to obey what we tell them to do, because and obey the love, because there's nothing greater than love in the universe. It's my personal belief, but I think from my experience, it really works, even with reptilians.
You know, my guides have said something very similar again, and we call it the love virus. You know, it was years ago. You know, years ago, you used to get these email circulars, and these things have been going on since photocopiers, believe me.
Yes, definitely.
But you'll get this terrible. You'll get this terrible warning that IBM. There'll be all these buzzwords, you know. IBM has confirmed that there's a deadly virus that is going to wipe your hard drive, beat your wife, and put you in jail overnight. And don't open the email marked "Happy Christmas." You know, it was always of that form. There was all these generic things. But the thing is, what you have to understand is that the virus that was the virus of panic that caused people to actually spread it, because people believed it. And they thought, well, I'd better tell all my friends because it's such a terrible thing. And what they're actually doing is spreading a little panic.
Yeah.
And that's a fear virus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So conversely, if we could come up with something of the same ilk that then spreads into their network, which is the love virus, the opposite of the fear.
I can tell you from my experience, JP. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just finishing, but you cut it fine, but do go ahead.
I want to share something which it was from my personal experience when my ex-husband turned into reptilian form. I had only one thing to tell him. I love you, I love you, I love you. He couldn't keep the form at all. It was 1 minute and it was gone back to human. He just couldn't hold on to the form at all. This was the only thing. And I really felt love because I felt pity, because he was aggressive. He was, hopeless. He was desperate and, he couldn't control his emotions at all. And he was just playing anger. And I said, I love you, I love you. He said 1 minute and he became his human self again. He couldn't hold it. And I've experienced it with some of the judges. I worked as interpreter in court too. But this is not a secret, I can share it. They were some legal advisors, lawyers, which are shapeshifters. I saw them many times, and when I, when the eye slits were changed and they were shifting into reptilian, I only sent them love. They couldn't hold the form anymore. Hey, they just couldn't.
Patrick?
They were weaker. They were also weaker. They were not fully reptilian, if this is what, you know, they were human with some reptilian, probably. I don't know the percentage and how it works, really, but I just know the results. When I send them love, something happens to these people. They cannot stand. They cannot. Some of them run away straight away. Some of them change into very soft humans, so they completely change the personality. And some of them are shaking and moving and cannot hold the body all together, and they have to leave. But my ex-husband was that he was simply turning into human straight away from the reptilian. The reptilian was gone. This reptilian part was simply leaving straight away, couldn't hold this energy of love at all.
This is what I was asking Simon Parks a few weeks ago, you know, how do reptilians deal with the love vibe? And he said they can't take it at all.
They can't.
Yeah, and they don't like marijuana either. That's, you know, so.
That's why, probably that is why.
Well, you know, because it's a Lyran thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know where I'm from, but I definitely from somewhere where love was the law. Love was the only thing people lived by. I'm not sure where I come from, but I come from the place where.
Have you heard my show called The Lyran Trauma?
Yes, I have.
You have. Did that?
I was really touched and moved.
I was going to say, did that move you at all? Well,
very much so. Very much so. It moved my heart. Was aching. Even now when you mention it, my beard is shaking, but I do not understand what it is. And I want to explore it more. But definitely love was the only thing I knew when I was born on this world. That's why it seemed to be so crazy for me.
So, very interesting. So yeah, the show, I mean, it just kind of popped out. It's like when, you know, when you talk about a song that was completely inspired, Alex was talking about this, you know, this show just kind of happened it just came out. I don't know where it all came from, but it just opened something up inside me. It seems to have opened something up inside a lot of people because from what I understand, it really is the origin of the human race, at least in this galaxy, the point of entry. So if you're human, you come from Lyra.
I am definitely human. The only thing I feel most is love, really. And the people who ask me how to be happy, the only answer is for me to look inside your heart. That's the brain, that's the connection, that's everything. And I know that, I mean, I don't know where I know it from, but I know that the heart, you can live without the brain, but you cannot live without the heart. That I know that there were even experiments, and one of my patients, actually, who I couldn't come to see, had an accident. One part of her brain was completely mashed by the lorry. She jumped off the bridge. And, it wasn't my passion in the sense that I didn't actually go there because her mom didn't allow me to do so. But she jumped off the bridge, and her left hemisphere was completely destroyed, was smashed. But she is alive, and the part of her head which was empty was filling up with a liquid. And gradually, the brain grew. I'm not sure of the story now, but she was talking, walking. She didn't have depression. She was, it's very bizarre. It's very strange. It's amazing, amazing story. You can actually read in Polish newspapers about this girl. But she was alive because her heart was alive. So actually that confirms what I feel deeply inside, that the heart as a brain, it's like a brain as well, but in a different, maybe not scientifically identified manner.
Yes, it's on a different octave.
It's completely uncharted territory for scientists. They don't go there.
Yeah, do you know why?
They are afraid.
Do you know why?
They're afraid.
No, because they don't breathe. Right? It's all about breathing. Yeah. Really? Really? Totally. It's all about oxygen. And hypoxia is what creates an intellectually dissociated person, which creates science. Anyway.
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, I can get it.
You know, when your heart and your head are together, when your,
that's
hemispheres are synchronized, what was Dan, Dan Winter. What's his phrase? When your phase conjugation is right, you know? So what he means is that the phase, that you're swimming together in the same wave, yeah?
I just want to ask you, have you heard him saying, I heard him saying during the lecture, you are talking about Dan Winter.
Dan Winter, what did you hear him saying?
I love this gentleman, yeah. I just love him.
I don't know if I've heard him saying, because I haven't heard a lot of him, but I thought, whoa, he's brainy. So I had him on the show and I threw a quick few questions at him that, I probably should listen to the show again, you know, really. I'm just gonna listen back. I don't have the time to listen to my own shows. Do you know that? I've got, two shows a week. That's 100 shows a year. 5 years.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
I couldn't do it in my own lifetime and listen
it's
to
it. It's amazing. It's so anyway. Overwhelming. It's brilliant.
It is overwhelming. Brilliant. Well, I don't know. It's dogged. It's certainly dogged. It's certainly persistent. Not all of it is good, but it's all there, and I've got it on 13 gigabytes on a SD drive somewhere in the web on a cloud. Mm. You can get it all for free.
But coming back to him, to Dan Winter.
Meanwhile, Dan Winter.
Dan, yes. He was talking about the way which our brain creates when we are in love. And a standing wave, which is exactly the same. And he says, we can create standing wave. And this is when you can get your soul back. I must send you this thing, which he says, you know, it is like a metaphor, but I don't think so. I think he knows what he's talking about. This is the moment the science found how these poor reptilians or psychopaths can get the soul back. I will send you the link because it's amazing when he's talking about a standing wave and what science or he discovered.
We have a recurrent guest here, Shari Edwards, who's a lovely, lovely lady, and I love her dearly. And she's not on the show.
She's not here.
I'm just bringing her into the conversation. She has done many, many studies over 30 years. I've known her for 20 of them, and. She knows the frequency of things. You know, if you ever think, you know, I've got a mineral deficiency, a vitamin or, you know, a vitamin deficiency. Everything's got a frequency, you see.
This is the lady who created
Nano Voice.
I've got this program actually, Nano Voice.
Yes, Sound Health Options.
I haven't used it yet. I've downloaded it recently after one of your shows.
Yes, it's so. Expressly on this point was that Shari was saying that there is a specific frequency of love. And there is a specific frequency of codependence, and there is a specific frequency of, you know, devotion and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I see it. All right, so get this. This is what always blows me away, right? All right, why do I do this radio? All right, so she said to me, So I said to her, you know, what's this frequency? And she said, well, it's something to do with a frequency of between the end of purple and the beginning of red again as it goes round the spiral, a sort of magenta-y thing. And I said, well, is that like the point between April, you know, between the spring equinox? And she said, yeah, that's about right. And I said, so if my birthday was March the 18th, would my voice have a frequency of that love frequency in it? And she said, yeah. So essentially, if you're born in, like, when I'm born, whenever you speak, the frequency is coming through as a sub encoding.
Wow. It,
as the astrology is the frequency of love. It's that simple.
Wow.
Amazing, actually.
Now, some people might say, well, that's just the luck of the draw. You get born as a Pisces. No, a lot of people, do you know any two Pisces who are like, oh yeah, you can say they're both exactly the same as each other? No. Every Piscean is really, really, really individual and yet still Piscean somehow.
Yeah. David, thank you very much for allowing me to be on air. I'm really thrilled by that. I have my granddaughter with me and she is crying, so I need to.
Oh, okay. Go and do the thing. So listen, it's 7 minutes past the hour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.
It was a great pleasure.
We'll see you soon. And, I'm just going to put some music on. Loving You by Minnie Riperton. Everybody loves this one. Everybody sing along.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Bye bye.
Welcome to Ever Beyond,
Beyond, Beyond, Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network.
Oh, yes, indeed. Ever Beyond, Wolf Spirit Radio Network, involving Ever Beyond Radio and Haggy Shack. Just at the moment, it's open to growing. Basically, a bunch of independent radio stations collected together, telling their story. How they want to, you know, you have your freedom to broadcast what you want on your thing. We trust you. That's the way it works. Anywho, how are we doing? Who's here? I see one Patrick over here. I was going to tell you about my first adult experience, but have you got any insights over what's just happened? Hi, Patrick. Hello. Unmute. No? Maybe you've gone away. Maybe you've got school looking after your child.
Okay. All right.
So Patrick appears to be here, but he's not. Maybe he'll come in a minute. But anyway, that was strange. I hear
okay,
some.
Okay, I'm back too.
There you are.
I just got my tea as well.
You've got tea. That's good. We have tea. Ding, ding, ding. Excellent. Cheers. So.
Cheers, JP. And Happy New Year's. I haven't really got to talk to you about Happy New Year's. Cheers.
L'chaim.
Oh.
Shana tova. Anyway, so yes, here we are. And, so how did that blow you away? That was pretty intense.
Are you asking me, JP?
Yeah, about you.
Oh, thank you. So many things. You know, it's interesting. I really listen and I try to follow and I tried to follow the dream. So much information. Very beautiful. I found it difficult to follow, to be honest. And I really tried. So much great information. So much great, you know, even at the end. So I mean, it felt, yeah. And then, even your interjections as well. I mean, I even took little notes and stuff. So, I was just thinking when you talked about it's just a hilarious little thing. Like, I love when you add these little things like smoking and Lyran and you know, things I knew even as a little kid. There's something in me. It's like, you're like, I know that's a good plant. It's kind of like coconuts. You're like, I know coconuts are good. I just know it. Don't tell me anything else. I just know it. In Lord of the Rings, this Christmas, this New Year's, I spent a lot of time just peaceful. But then for my relaxation, I, you know, I'd watch Lord of the Rings and they're always smoking. And I always think like, that's right on. I mean, there's, I don't know what it is about smoke or even whether it be being outside and being by a fire, but there's just something so ancient about that practice that that's really beautiful.
People of the pipe.
Yes.
People of the pipe. Okay. So now where were we? Yeah. So adult, you know, I had my first adult injury. It's like the first one is, it's like the beginning and the end. So, you know, it starts with that and it ends with that.
Yeah. And I took that note as well. Like you're talking about your motorcycle accident?
No. This was long before that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is like, I was about 22 and it was just when, Citizen Band Radio was legalized in Britain, which is 1982.
Okay.
And, I bought the first, you know, I had a small thing and then I bought a bigger thing and then I got a really good thing and I got a really amazing thing. And just like I got to the amazing thing part, level and, you know, something that could transmit, you know, several hundred miles and stuff, or maybe even thousands of miles if you had the weather conditions right, the legendary skip. I had all that and I just got to the pinnacle and it was just like, I literally reached up to adjust this thing and I heard this in my back. Oh my, I don't know what that is.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. I've never felt that before.
Wow.
But I don't have a good feeling about it. Anyway, so I got down off the ladder and it's like gravity continued to bring me down onto, I was standing on a fire escape. It continued, like, I got down from this chair, da, 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 and at the same speed, I collapsed onto the floor. It's like one smooth movement.
Whoa.
And, I thought, I can't move. What the heck's going on? You know, like every time I try and move my back, it just like, that will hurt. You know, I literally, I was 22. Literally crawled to my bedroom, like inch by inch. Yeah, it was really, you know, crazy. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Amazing experience. Like, what happens? What, you know, so, it took me, you know, about half an hour to crawl to my bedroom, which is about 30 feet. Oh. Really? So anyway, and luckily I'd adjusted it. I'd done the important adjustment to the radio. So I used the radio to call my friend who lived a couple of hundred yards away, who I spoke to and got her to come and kind of sort me out and rescue me and like get me into bed and get some sort of treatment going. So that was my first entry into adult feelings of like, oh, that's what a slip disc feels like.
Wow.
Cause, you know, all right, you know, Uncle Willie, it's just like, really, Uncle Willie's got a slip disc. Oh, really? It's like, oh, it's like, is that music? You know, it's like, I don't know. This is the '60s. I was a kid, you know, and, you know, you get these ideas of, you know, what these adult problems are, you know, oh, slip disc, you know, hemorrhoids, you know, what are hemorrhoids? You don't get hemorrhoids when you're a kid. You don't know what these things are. You know, what, you know, I don't understand, you know, but, eventually as you grow older and, you know, past that 21 year immortality moment, cause you do feel immortal when you're about 21, don't you? Like, yeah, it's this guy. Let me throw myself in the blades of this grinder because I'll survive.
You know? Yeah.
So there we go. And then, I do, in fact, throw my face into the wheels of a grinder. What was that? 4 years later. Yeah, it took me 4 years. I think, yeah. So where were we? Yeah, so getting injuries, being adult. So I suppose when you have a child who's like, who breaks bones or has, you know, really strong disease, they, you know, that debilitates them as a child. It gives them a very different perspective to life, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. You take things, some things you take more seriously, you know, it's not a...
JP?
Yeah?
Can I ask a question about
Ask me away.
Thank you. Because I'm trying to understand the dynamic. So this, just for simple layman terms, like this radio tower, it sounds like, or this transmitter that you were touching or adjusting, do you think it was the energy it was sending off? Was it something else? Was
No. It was just an awkward stretch. You know, just a weird twisty movement. It's very, very physical. Very, very physical. It's just like that was the moment.
I wanted to.
I don't have a I'm pronoid, right? That's the opposite of paranoid. It's the opposite. You know, so rather than imagine that, you know, it was a psychic attack. I could say, you know, when I was 20, I was a psychic attack.
The reason why I ask, I mean, so, you know, it'll just take a second, but the reason why is it's always the emotions is, the yoga teacher I study under who I love him. I'm just so impressed with the depth and the, integrity. Anyways, he's by all practical standards, literally probably one of the, both in practice and knowledge, one of the greatest, even at a young age, like yoga instructors in the world. And he throws his back out. And I think it was like 19 or 20. He'd just come to America. And what had happened was he had fallen in love. And, it was one of these things where, when I say race, simply in the sense of like in Indian culture where he's from, there were literally race, like, well, is she from this particular, you know, tradition? And well, she's not. Well, then it's not going to work. You know, it's like,
castes. They have a caste system.
Yes. And it's a real thing. It's not like this, you know.
Yeah, it's not a legendary caste system. It's actually a real caste system. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in these upper class. And you know, he was from an upper class family in India. So naturally, like you just follow suit. You do what your parents do. He had already changed because he had gotten out of law, even though that was his whole family tradition. Anyways, what was fascinating was here it is at the peak of this unbelievable physical talent. And what happens? He throws out his back. Not only does he just throw it out, it's so bad. He has to fly back in a special emergency bed. And he doesn't want to stay in the States when it happened. I think it happened in the United Kingdom. He didn't want to stay there because they were going to do operations on him. So he went back to India and it took him over 4 years to heal it. And the majority of the work was just he had to do things laying down because he couldn't move. But again, here is one of the most advanced physical yogis throwing out his back. And he knew it even at the time that there was things that he was doing wrong, like overstressing, overworking, pushing too hard. He was aware of this, but one of the main issues was this emotion of he had just fallen in love and it felt like it wasn't going to happen. And he was tormented and he had reached up to help pull down a box from a friend's house and his back goes out. It's just like, what? Why then? How did that happen? You know, it's like, come on.
Oh, I tell you. So, you know, oh, the old kettle. Oh, my whingy kettle. There it is. You hear it whinging away in the background.
It's so beautiful.
I'm going to have to fix it. I should have known what you're talking.
I can talk.
So yeah, but I've thrown my back out like that so many times since then. It's the adult thing to do. Instead of saying, I don't like this, your back goes out.
Thank you. And there's also, can I share a little bit more of some of the insight I had about that?
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. And, so the insight I had about that was, okay, so yeah, a person will keep having a reoccurring injury. And if you go deep, it's like the best way I can describe it is it feels like there's an ultimate weakness somewhere and that ultimate weakness attracts the physical injury that's about to take place. It literally pulls it into reality, but there's already a physical weakness. And the best way I can describe this physically is that I always think of it as the older cell phones, and they had the battery that would go in, and if you dropped the phone, the battery would pop out, and you would say, oh, I dropped my phone, battery broke, or, you know, my phone broke. And that's true, but it's the battery pops out where it was the weakest. If it wasn't weak there, it wouldn't happen. You could drop if it was like a rubber guarding at the time, it would have bounced. It would have been just fine. And that's the same as the body is. The body's very strong. The body's very dynamic. What got it to the point that it's so stiff? that doing a simple motion is not possible anymore. Where did that happen? You know, what's the misalignment that's going on? And then if you go, again, you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it keeps coming to the same thing, which is that ability to love and feel. It's like to feel these, because that's, I think, what it is. It's like we begin to feel and there's pain there and we want to avoid it. And it's like the body says, well, it's still here. I'll wait for you to come back. But if you just stay, if you just think you avoid it, then it's almost like you eventually draw in another injury right in the same location or similar. We're very creative the way we do that. But, it's an amazing process of healing.
It so is. But the thing is, you know, so what, where I'm getting with this is that, I don't know if you've noticed, but, most of the radio hosts, everybody's had something, you know, everybody's had some, a flu, or, you know, like me, their back's gone out, or they have a swollen testicle. You know, and, you know, who does it, you know, anyway, and then, or, you know, there's stomach stuff, and anyway, everybody's got something going on. And I'm thinking, there's something or two of this. There's got to be something with the moment of the time. And the time of the moment is that there's been this big galactic wave. And it all struck at about the same time, which is from Boxing Day onwards.
Yeah,
and so I would say that this is a purging of those things. And it's like,
spot on.
There's a word, chiasm, C-H-A-I-S-M. Have you heard of that word?
I have.
And just for those who haven't, it's the, it's a, like a biblical analyst term, for the way, that you say something and then you reverse it. It's actually very computer program like. Can you give me an example of a chiasm? Cause I can never think of something. Have you got one?
I don't.
So it's something like, and Joseph said, blah, 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 said Joseph. You know, it goes in and it comes out. Joseph said Joseph. You know, there's the bracket. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like a computer program. It's like, if, blah, 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 then end if. Blah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's something chiasmic about the way illness comes. It comes and it goes, it flows in and it flows out. And, my theory. Yeah. If I'm right, otherwise I'm just going to be lying around like a cripple for the rest of my life. But I don't think so. You know, it's just energy. You know, if we consider it's just energy.
And don't put any fear into it either. I mean, it's like there is something that's going on. I love what you said, and I love that word. I have heard it before, but I'm glad you describe it because it's like you hear these great words and they don't sink in, but very powerful word. But no, you just kind of go through it, you know, as bravely as you can, but you also do your work. I mean, you do the self-care. A lot of these injuries have come on because of lack of self-care. So it's like it feels like it's an upping of the game for the people that are doing their spiritual work, and they're kind of, some of the hidden injuries are kind of coming up.
Pleiadian says there was, JP, was all the responsibility on you growing up? I don't know, but I do feel that I did feel responsible for everybody. I don't know why. I do have that feeling of responsibility, or somehow being, somehow needing to support them because it felt like from them that I was taking their support away. So I would have to provide it. I don't know how I do it. But it's probably the way that I do things.
JP.
Yes.
I have a great back injury story. May I share it?
Please share your back injury story. Make me feel better.
Well, that's why I wanted to say it. And cause I
don't, just
you're doing, thank you. It's such an amazing story. And all back injuries are different. Like again, each person's are different, but there are so many similarities, especially with emotions and things like this. But I remember it so clearly. I had just started some really great cleanses. Just really everything going beautifully. And, I was playing tennis one evening and, the magic was unbelievable. This all relates with Amma and everything. So playing tennis one evening, 2 minutes before finishing, and I hear this pop in my back. That's why I was listening to what you said when you were up on the ladder. Like, what caused it right then? You know, was that magic? Was that like was that the astrological timing of like, boom, here's your gift now? I don't know. I mean, that's why I wanted to make sure. I didn't know if it was electricity for you or what it was, but anyway, so I'm playing tennis, something I do a lot, and pop, and I could tell right away, like, whoa, that was a bite. I don't know what it was, but this is just five days before Thanksgiving of 2014. And so I ride my bike home, and it gets a little worse. I was planning a trip to visit Amma. She does a Thanksgiving tour that I attend, and that didn't quite work out. That was magical, but I was still planning on going, because it's very easy just to attend. And so, Saturday rolls around, it's a little worse. Sunday rolls around. At this point, I don't even think I'm ready to drive because my back, I'm now afraid that when I move up and down on the pedals, my back is concerning that it's going to go into a spasm or something. It's just not, it's not right. Monday comes around. I have a great chiropractor I see. I get a chiropractic adjustment. It gets worse. The very next day, I have a wonderful healing touch therapist that came and did work in the morning. I couldn't really tell a difference, but it felt good. That evening I got a massage by a great therapist. You know, I was really doing my self-care too. I'm like, I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on, but I'll do my self-care. I was doing all my own stretches as well. But this is how quick it happened. Wednesday rolls around. This is the day before Thanksgiving. I'm walking with a cane. I can't even walk anymore. I'm just walking around with a cane. Thursday morning, Thanksgiving day, I wake up and it takes me an hour and a half to shower. And before you know it, I'm out on the floor. I'm going into convulsions. My body is literally, and I too crawl to another room because I can't, and that takes 30 minutes because I can't move. I keep going into convulsions and it's so intense. And part of me is crying and part of me is like, I'm like, this must be magic because what's going on? I don't even know what's going on. And I proceed to spend the next 4 days listening to Deepak Chopra and the chakra balancing technique and doing the most basic yoga practice and peeing in a trash can because I couldn't move. So I just drank water, peed in a trash can in a room, and the spasm stopped after about 2 days. But I couldn't walk for about maybe 6 or 7. But I now know later on, first that happened Thanksgiving Day, but later as I look at it, aside from very spiritual things, but it's like it was the change of my pelvis. My pelvis was finally ready to change. It's like all the abuse we had received as kids, like my pelvis was all screwed up. And so suddenly it's like my pelvis was realigning, but there was a lot more energy. And then the trauma, I really, even at the time, I was like, I know now I was raped as a kid. And that was my body holding that emotional knowledge in the, in my back. Like and now I look back on it every November, my whole life that I could look back, I had back pain. Not enough to set me out, but enough where like it was guarded or it's like, whoa, something's on, you know, like, oh, careful. But every year. And so I was like, it comes up, it seems almost to come up yearly. And there was something stuck there and it got released. And then afterward, the best piece about it was because I addressed it with love and care, I also followed up with all the other things like the self-care you're doing, which thank you for doing, the chiropractic, the massage, all the self-care you can do is that when it does heal, it's like your appreciation for it is just like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful to have a back. I'm so grateful I can move around and there's obviously something there I didn't know was there.
So it's bringing something up. You know, there's a phrase that there's a lot of phrases, little memes that have been going around the last few months. One of them, shouldn't be taken as a political thing, but should be taken as maybe an astral thing. But the phrase is to drain the swamp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
What is going on in the body politic is going on in our bodies.
Amen, JP.
You know? We have AI implants in the body politic, you know? We have, hiatuses. We are ruled by the ego ruling the left brain of the, you know, 10% of the body. You know, it's just a mirror of the whole thing. And that's how we conquer it. We conquer it within the mirror of our own bodies and our own world around us. By turning it around, instead of being victim to it, we recreate it. What the hell is that phone doing? Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, it says. Okay, it's time to go. Stop it. Let's in my skull. In my crystal skull. Who are you gonna call goat's butter? Anyway.
And by the way, too, I love, there are so many pieces too. I took notes, but like as you're talking about the date of the birth, the march, I love, the sounds that you put together for the shows and the little changes you've made. Like they literally draw you in before the show even begins. And you know, I think about that, like, there's a skill set. You're talking about this, like, with the, you know, whether it be the date of births or however it works, but there's certain, like, harmonics that you understand that you can then utilize. And it's so fun in hearing it in the introductions of your music and stuff. Anyways, very enjoyable.
Did you remember the song that I played, before my show? You know, after the MK show, I thought, well, that is a bit edgy. I want to, you know, soften things up a bit. So I played a track which, I recorded with my band. When was it? 1992.
Wow. Right,
so what's that? 14 years ago? 24 years? Is that 14 or 24 years ago? No, it's more than, yes. Yeah. 24 years ago. Anyway, the band was called Mystery Squad, and I had this thing that I knew that the note of A had some significance. And any guitar player would know what a Fender Twin was. Anyway, I had a Fender Twin, which is a great big heavy, and it's good because it's heavy, right? But it's heavy, and it's on wheels. The amplifier is so heavy it needed its own wheels, so it came with its own wheels. Wonderful thing. I'd just taken delivery of this thing, and we were given the opportunity to do a recording at a recording studio. And, the recording would be destroyed. It was a student. He had his end of year project as a sound engineer. And we went in there as a band, and we threw this track down. And what I did is I knew that the note of A was significant, so I just played the note of A and it's like, you know, Spinal Tap, when he says, oh, we turn everything up to 11, right? So so I just turned the whole thing. I turned every knob up to 10, you know, everything. It's got this thing which is called a tremolo, which is that ra-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Which also adds another vibration, it's another frequency, which is incredibly powerful frequency. It just feels like you're being shaken to bits inside. I knew that this, you know, it would touch you, you know. So that's what's in that song. And then it shakes, and then it comes back smooth again.
Mm.
Just like something hitting the surface of the water. We call it slow to surface. We've never done a video. If anybody, you know, saw that and saw the video for it, could manifest the animation or the slideshow or whatever it is to make that thing happen. I don't know. It would be a great thing. It would make me a really nice YouTube experience. Anyway.
I agree.
Huh. It's available for free. You know, we got no copyright. Well, I mean, who'd want to do a cover of that? It's a one-off. It's a thing. But I hope everybody enjoyed it. Yes. Anyway. Yes, frequency. So frequencies is all about, the manifestation. Why are these words coming? Right, the manifestation of the source into matter through frequency down through the octaves. But the highest frequency is the frequency of the thought that happens in the first place.
Mm.
And then it just kind of comes down the pipe, coming down as you know, like a stepping down a transformer. Yes. Meanwhile, so where are we? we're about 20 minutes out. Do you have any other impressions from this, weird day of radio? I don't know really what's been going on with Skype. That's been the weirdest thing. I couldn't get more than one person on a call.
Wow.
It just wouldn't happen. It's never done this before. It really behaved in an anomalous way. So who knows what gremlins have been and thing. But anyway, everything is frequency. Yeah. So yeah, frequency of love is a thing, and it's around the frequency that it's actually, you know, when I go, you know, when people, when they go, you know, when they're talking and they go, that's their frequency. So if you, I just heard, so that was your one. You see?
Yeah. Never thought of it.
Yeah. People do it all the time. You just have to listen, don't you? Meanwhile, so yeah, the idea of music as medicine is becoming more popular anyway.
I've been doing that for some time. Like I'm in such a fortunate situation where, whether it be doing body work and then just kind of expanding out, and before you know it, I mean, it's everything. It's whether it be the oils or, I've really been enjoying salt baths lately. It's a crystal thing. It's like I keep getting this vision as the crystals are going into your body, and then it becomes a direct interface with the crystals of the salt. You know, so like that's why, you know, when your body's so depleted of minerals, you're so depleted of that connection. Anyways, like
just consider when you sprinkle salt on your chips. You know, just consider that you've got crystals in your hand, and you can actually bless those crystals as you put them on your chips.
Yeah, it's like the Himalayan sea salt. It's the thing you said too. It's like your body, you resonated toward A. You knew it. Something in you knew it. You know, the body loves salt. I wonder why. I mean, and then obviously if you iodinize it and you do this and you know, and why would that ever happen? Why would you ever screw with something so beautiful, something so wonderful that your body loves and needs and cherishes? It's like when you get it in the natural forms and your body, it just sings and rejoices. And it comes into alignment. The thing that you said about the octaves again is that the body begins to come into those alignments. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Don't stop.
Oh, don't stop. Oh, it was, no, thank you. Thank you. No, it was the, yeah.
All right. Take a breath then, Patrick, take a breath.
I want to go with it. Like, so I'm always interested to see where you want to go with the conversation. We just talked about salt and the beauty of salt. And these are little practices of just, you know, again, whether they be about all these practices leading up to feeling your body better. But the one that was fascinating to me most recently is when we eat salt, when we, specifically when we do tonics, soaking the feet in salt. By the way, specifically for you, JP, the borax, I don't know why, but whenever you said that, I'd always get this minor, I felt you were doing something right, but it wasn't quite right. And I was wondering, have you tried apple cider vinegar?
Apple cider vinegar. Lots of people swear by it. Dave used to swear by it. He used to say, I take apple cider vinegar for everything. But I don't have much, no.
No. I think the reason...
You know, I don't go out much. So getting things like that, you know. All right, can you give me some apple cider vinegar? Oh, what do you mean? I live in Scotland. We have chips. That's it. Chips and tea bags.
I got it. By the way, you know, this is the thing, like, I see for my life. Like, one of my dreams is, like, you know, just the people, like, whenever I think about the finances of the world, it's like the people like you, we are the ones that we get to support you, like, get you, like, a whole box of it or whatever. Anyways, apple cider vinegar is so easy, but no. That was the other part of your story that was actually a little hard. So you're 22 years old, you're out totally by yourself, and you get, you're, basically your back goes out. It takes you 30 minutes just to get indoors. There was no, so you're saying that when that happened, there was no one around. It was just you.
Yeah, yeah. But,
how scary, by the way. Like, whoa.
I can't remember if I was scared or not. I was quite determined. I thought, right, how am I going to get it? Yeah, I was a problem solver. I still am a problem solver, you know.
Well, but, it was also interesting to see how relaxed your brain got during it all. It's like, even the way you described it, it's like, boom, something went out. It's almost like your body even knew, okay, we're going to get down these stairs so you don't take a hard crack. Pop, pop, boom. Okay, now.
It was just, now, it was just crazy. It was slow motion because I stepped down off the chair. I stepped down my one knee went down and the other knee went down and I was flat on the floor and it was all one smooth motion. That was, there was a kind of beauty and poetry to it that was like, this is not a beautiful and poetic moment, but, thank you very much for the beauty and poetry of it. And here's the thing. Recently, whenever I injure myself, I am rolling with laughter. It's really funny. It's like, I hurt my body. Here's another experience. This is going to be fun. I'm really getting into this. And I'm not looking for injury. Believe me, I'm not looking for injury because I hate healing. I hate the feeling of, you know, having to like walk around with a broken arm for three months. You know, that sucks. I don't need that. Nobody needs that. Ain't no one got time for that shit. So, but the other week when I kind of almost knocked myself out. Mm. On the door frame, I was laughing. I was bleeding. I was thinking, okay, right. Well, I got to just stop the bleeding. And, I was making, very calmly, dabbing water over the thing and then, making a little compress and putting the plaster on, you know, and all the while chatting away and laughing.
Yeah.
It was like, here I am and I'm just looking after this stupid skin suit that just threw itself into a doorway. You know, but it's all right because I'm here, you know, and there was like the higher spirit just kind of driving the whole thing that didn't really care about the whole thing. And it showed me the relationship and between what is right relationship is the inner spirit drives the body and it doesn't really care. It's like the evil villains in the movies, except we're the good guys, you know? Like you chop off one of their arms and, yeah, come here, I'll bite your arm off. Yeah.
I do see it that way too.
You know?
I see this picture of like, why would you fight us? Like meaning in the sense of like the goodness, the complete warrior energy of like, I will get up and continue. By the way, in that particular story that you just shared with your head, what stands out is like, so I bet there's something related to deeper to even why it was your head, why it happened then, what was the surrounding aspects around it. But so much like just to think about how much your consciousness has changed or grown that now when you have a severe experience like that, you just blow it off. And before you know, it's no problem.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm enjoying this experience.
Exactly.
My friend who was with me was crapping himself. Yeah. He was totally crapping himself. And like, he was kind of like, how can you do this? I was like, I'm fine. I really was, and I still am, and there's nothing, you know, I it's healed quite nicely. I've just got another I have another furrow in my brow.
Yeah.
I've changed my brow print.
Yeah. But like, just like the fact that you handled it so calmly, that you went into that calm zone, that it's a different experience now.
That's right. Maybe I've given myself brain damage and I've lost that bit of myself that's supposed to be serious about shit.
No, that's not.
Laugh yourself to health, correct.
I know for me, you know, as I mentioned this, the back thing earlier, like the reason also that was it's been such a unfolding of my own life and my own story is that I've known this, but it's the connection just kind of got stronger and stronger, that inner connection of the body. The way that we keep our house, the way that we treat people, and the injuries that are deep within our body, like the complete interconnectedness of it all. And as my back began to heal, then, you know, the next thing that happened was when it started to realign, well, there were other parts of my back that were placed upon the old alignment. So they had to start to move and change as well. So new pain started to arise in the knee, in different places. And then as I, you know, and this was years, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's again, this is in a month or two of basically rehabilitation. And then you get to the point, it's like, these are some very, like, these movements and emotions in the spine, just to learn how to get your spine flexible again. That takes some work.
Yes, it certainly does. Don't worry about the Skype sounds. It's complicated.
Oh no.
It's just the next program starting up.
Perfect.
Yes, indeed, the, where were we going with that? That Skype call,
well,
really.
I can end it in a nice way, just like, because yeah. I think about, so the way this all kind of also connects with me is that this is where, again, the Lyran work that you went through, which just totally, it really was, that was for me a very transformational aspect of healing that had to take place, not just the level of pain, the level of trying to even wrap my head around so much of that, actually. And I don't mean even like intellectually, but just the emotions, feeling, and learning it. I don't even know how to say it better than just, it's like I want to acknowledge the feelings in all levels and heal them. And it's that process of acknowledging the feeling and then healing it, bringing love into it, and that process of keep doing that. And that's maybe what we're here to do. And like you said, like a ghoul or whatever you use, like you just, arm gets hacked off and then a love arm comes right back. And how scary that must be to the people now that are, you know, have really chosen negative paths, that, you know, now they're waking up that, whoa, you've awoken a group of people that, like they're determined for truth and love and there's no stopping them.
There's no stopping the wave, I think. And yeah. The people will exhibit the energy of the wave.
Yeah,
the wave is good, but ultimately it's good. But in the meantime, it's going to be a bit turbulent, I'd say, like a hose pipe coming into a pond.
Can I share something,
please,
on that? Oh, thank you. Oh man, thank you. I really do. I would like to share this because it's probably been something that has been on my mind. So one of the things as I've taken in 2016 is, and I remember even beginning it, like I just felt so honored at the end of 2016, 2017 that we made it. And all I mean by that is that, it just felt such an emotional year on every level, things happening behind the scenes that no one has any idea about, but so close and really fragile environments. So many of us waking up and wishing for a better world. And it's like, here it is. When I say nothing has happened major, that's not true, because there's obviously major stuff everywhere, but that there hasn't been a nuclear war. There hasn't been some crazy thing or anything yet. And there's this feeling like the shoe's going to drop. It's going to drop. And again, in the dream manifestation that I've been really trying to focus my mind on as best as I can is, how about let it drop in pure grace? We've had enough suffering. We've had enough, like, you know, these drops that, like, oh yeah, it's like everybody has to wake up through pain. Wouldn't it be nice if we all had a wake up through joy? Like, oh my God, that's so much better. Oh geez. Yeah. How? And that it's like, it always seems to have to come through pain. And what I think is happening is so many spiritual practitioners and workers, one of the reasons that their bodies are suffering is because, very much like a noble person, they're saying, hey, I don't know what this is, but I want to, not so much like I want to take it on. I don't think it like that. It's more like I am part of the process. Like you said, here's some trash on the street. I'm here. Can I clean it up? Hey, here's this emotion, this vibration. It needs to be cleaned, healed. It needs to be given love. Like you said, like it needs, like, revitalize something with love, change its vibrational pattern. And, that process is work. That process is tender, and that process is very challenging at times. But it's just the work to be done. And so I wonder if that's a lot what's going on right now. Thank you for letting me share that.
You're welcome. You don't need to preface everything. Just come in with it. It's fine. Thank you. I'll work on it. We've got so much, all right. So you're talking about things, as you were saying, one of the things that would be a joyous shock, wouldn't it be nice if replicators were real? Like they have in Star Trek, you say, tea, Earl Grey, hot. And there would be your tea. Hot. Perfect. These are fabled now. You know, David Wilcock and, Corey Good have been saying, yeah, these things exist for a couple of years now. We're just waiting. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to come out? Now, one of the, potentials is, as according to Alex, was that the Antarctic expeditions that are uncovering ancient ruins revealed by earthquakes, as it's been talked about in years ago, and, you know, this thing's been talked, this is the whole thing rolling out as we've heard it was going to be rolled out, right? And there would be archaeological excavations, created by, stimulated by earthquakes, which have revealed pieces of, ancient history, which changed the whole Bible thing, or proved the Bible, or disproved the Bible, or this or that. In order to, you know, this is part of the New World Order plan. Obviously, the truth is beyond this. It's just part of the truth. Mm. And I think that, as you say, knowing our Lyran history trumps everything, if you excuse the modern political pun.
Love it.
Right? It really does, because you just know, ah, well, that's PTSD, and I've gone beyond that now. I've reconnected with my Lyran self, and sorry, you're sacked. You're fired. You know, we can let go of those controlling, dominating elements. But I can't do it on my own, and you can't do it on your own, but together, we create the ripple. And when the ripple goes out, there may be a delay, because there's a delay between thought and manifestation always, because of the different layers have to take the
way. Well, how about even like, one of the things that keeps coming up for me is the timelines. It's like, so we're moving into even an astrological timeline right now. If I understand correctly, there's been some real big changes, even like magnetic, a blast of energy and all sorts of things really amazing happening. And now we're moving into this astrological kind of time of possible incredible grace. And it's like these like divine timings, like we say with time is on here on earth where we're like, God, please bring it in. Like it's like, it was too late yesterday. Like there's just too much going on, too much suffering. Like we've had enough, but it's like, there are reasons that things take the time that they take. I was always amazed when you brought up like 10 years ago, you had that experience that told you about this time.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like there's something about this time. It's just magical. And then it's like
It's the crossing, Patrick.
Yeah.
It's the time of the crossing. It's what's happening. And we're crossing over to the end of the show, strangely enough.
Perfect. JP, thank you so much for all you do.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing your part in this. Thank you very much, Kathleen. It's 1 o'clock a.m. in Britain. After the break, we'll be joining Frank Jordan and the Earth Healers Group. And this has been Ever Beyond with JP. Thank you. Good night. Beyond.